Ventnor City Planning Board meeting, February 8th, 2023.
Okay, good.
I can do a preamble.
Exactly. Yeah, the gavel. Somebody took the gavel. Mayor took the gavel. Here, I'll use my shoe. Attention, please. At this time, the Ventnor City Planning Board is now in session for the February 8th meeting. This meeting is being held in accordance with due public notice thereof and pursuant to the New Jersey State Sunshine Law. Notice of this meeting was advertised in the press and the Current, and a copy of same has been posted on the bulletin board in the municipal building. At this time, we'll rise and salute the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, under God, one nation.
We should start that.
Yeah.
Play ball.
You know what you meant.
At this time, Administrator will call the roll.
Jay Cook.
Here.
Roman Zabi Hutch.
Present.
Lorraine Salata.
Here.
Dan Smith III.
Here.
Mike Wiesen.
Here.
Peter Tucko.
Here.
Tim Coop.
Here.
Greer Gaskell.
Here.
Wendy Bartlett.
Here.
Absent are Commissioner Landgraf, Commissioner Kriebel, Tom Halpin, and Don Siglin.
At this time, we will go through the adoption of the January 23rd minutes of this board. Are there any changes or amendments to said minutes? Hearing none, may I have a motion and a second for adoption, please?
I'll make the motion to approve.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
One abstention.
One abstention, Mike Wiesen abstains. The ayes have it. Minutes are hereby adopted. We have three resolutions this evening. They are going to be adopted as a bundle, or all together. They are P7, 2023, Jeff Bergman. P8, 2023, Luigi Sabatini. And P9, 2023, Christopher Flores, Paul Loris, and Andrea Hautrus. Are there any changes or amendments to those resolutions? Hearing none, may I have a motion for adoption, please? And
make
a second.
Motion.
I'll second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And one abstention from Mike Wiesen. The ayes have it. The resolutions are hereby adopted. Before we get into this evening's agenda, there's a couple things that have been going on in the city that the board, I think, should take note of and should participate in. It is one, of course, we know that our mayor, Beth Holtzman, our former mayor, Beth Holtzman, has resigned. And that seat has been filled by Lance Landgraf and so on. So I think it incumbent upon the board, since she's served here we've served under her for almost 6 or 7 years now, in there, to give her a thank you and a job well done in a form of resolution. So I'd like the board I'm going to ask the board to give an aye and a motion in a second to us doing a resolution thanking the mayor for her service and her and the way she acquitted herself, the professionalism she's done it with. And so if I could have that, for a vote for resolution, may I have a motion and a second in the affirmative, please?
I'll make the motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So that resolution and I'll have Leo craft that as well as I will. I'll work with that. The other thing is that...
there was no nays, correct? I got to prepare it, so I just had to
ask. Lance Landgraf is now going to be fulfilling the seat there. And I think a letter from the board to Lance congratulating him would be in order as the new mayor. So with that, and then the other side of the coin is Maria Mento, who was our business administrator, is now had been appointed to fill Lance Landgraf's seat as commissioner since he's moving to mayor. And I'd like to send her a letter of congratulations also. And so Tim Kriebel is not left out. Tim's been a rock and a solid to this whole thing. And his professionalism and his participation should be recognized as well. So I'd like to send a letter to him as well. That's an attaboy, definitely. So with that, may I have a motion for letters for all three, or a vote on that? May I have a motion and a second, please, for sending the letters to all three?
I make a motion, we send letters to all the current and former commissioners.
Great.
And I'll second that.
Okay. May I have a roll call vote, or not a roll call, but is everyone in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it, I shall do it. I think that it's a courtesy that the board should be affording our elected officials with that in there. Now, we're going to begin this evening, we have a case of 139 North Newport Avenue. But Leo, you have an announcement first to make, if you could, please?
Yeah, this is a continuation from the, I think, our first meeting in January. Was everybody here? I think that was our reorganization meeting, correct?
Yes, it was.
Does everyone recall this? Does anyone not recall this application? All right, good. So I was just, who could participate, because it's a continuation. So I think we're in good order. I just wanted to make sure the proper board was constituted.
Now, in the public, is everyone here for that application? Because that is the only application on the agenda this evening. So I just didn't want you sitting through things and not coming up. So, okay, we'll proceed. Mr. Shulo and Mr. Scipione, you could proceed with your application.
Suppose.
Do we have to have them resworn?
I'll get them resworn. We don't have to requalify Mr. Shulo. We qualified him last time as an engineer and a planner. But Jay and Mr. Scipione, why don't you just state your name and address for the record? I'll get you both sworn in.
Giovanni Scipione, 112 South Weymouth Avenue, Ventnor, New Jersey.
Good evening. Jason Shulo, Shulo Engineering Services.
Okay. And can each please raise your right hand? Each swear affirm the testimony you give tonight will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
We'll stipulate on Mr. Shulo's credentials, and we'll go ahead with that. Just as a matter of fact, there's a new, Roger McLaren did a new review of the site. Have you had that?
Yeah, after our last presentation and the feedback received from the board, we prepared revised plans and submitted them in preparation for this hearing, which I see a lot of you are laying out, and I'll put on the board momentarily. In general, you'll recall that the original application included not only the home with the living space inside, but a rooftop deck that has since been removed. There was also an encroachment proposed into the Monmouth Avenue right-of-way, which was removed. And if you recall, during the initial hearing, I mentioned that the owner, due to health concerns, wanted to have outdoor recreation space, which was the purpose of the rooftop deck. After hearing the feedback, we have instead now the third floor has a deck that faces towards Newport Avenue that has been expanded slightly to pull that third floor in to make the inside space slightly smaller and that deck a little larger, which will serve the same purpose. In addition, the Monmouth Avenue frontage, which had, if you recall, a garage door on the rear section of it, and then the wall had windows but not much architectural fenestration, has since been modified to show what we call fenestration, architectural appeal related to some peaks and treatments around the windows that'll make that side of that house look more like a front. The relief that's requested with the application has been modified to remove the rooftop deck. The height has been reduced. It is still over what's permitted. The reason, or the actual overage, is not for additional living space. If we were to propose the building as the three stories you see with a flat roof, it would be compliant. What we propose instead is a peaked roof to give it better appearance. The roof is at 5-on-12. It creates the building height at 35.42 feet, which is about 4.5 feet, a little less than 4.5 feet over what's permitted, which is 31 feet. Additionally, some of the conversation around the parking layout that took place had the, if you recall, there was one garage door on Monmouth, and the driveway was set up such that the car would pull in on an angle to get into the forward part of the garage. Mr. Chappione went to the water department, talked to someone, because there was a fire hydrant in front of the home that prevented a driveway onto Newport. Turns out that fire hydrant has to be replaced. The water company, or I'm sorry, the water department said, well, if you want to move it to the Monmouth Avenue side or that frontage and pay for that relocation, the city won't have to pay for a new hydrant, and you'll be able to put a driveway in. So Mr. Chappione has agreed to do that, and the water department has agreed to supply the hydrant and make that move so that we can get a driveway now onto Newport. So the garage will be able to be pulled through, so we have access to both spaces without any kind of infringement related to the vehicle movement. The third floor, in this zone, we're allowed 2.5 stories, and half a story is considered 75% of the floor below it. What we have is a floor that's 80% of the footprint of the building. So we're slightly over by 38 square feet what would be permitted as a 2.5 story, so we're calling it 3-story for the purpose of the application. From the first floor to the second floor is a 5-foot step back for the second floor deck, and then an additional 5 feet step back for the third floor deck, so the building massing is pulled off the road slightly. Is there any other internal changes to the building? There wasn't, right? So I'll refer to the boards.
Try not to block you, John, but make sure the neighbors get to see it. Along with the board.
So this first board that I'm putting up is the submitted site plan that came with the application. So
that's the original one, Jay?
No, this is the revised version that went in.
Okay.
A couple weeks ago, or a week ago.
Maybe we'll mark it at A1 to the extent we don't already have an A1, but what from previous. But I'll just note that the whatever updated.
It's a revised version of that first
revised
one.
Site plan.
So on this plan, you'll see that the building footprint looks very similar to the original plan, which is to fill the entire lot. It's a 15-foot wide lot, well, way undersized compared to what zoning permits or requires. It's existing condition, as we mentioned previously. It's not exacerbated by this application. We're taking full advantage of the footprint of what the previous home was on the site and making it more modern and efficient. And I mentioned we have the garage door that's on the Monmouth Avenue frontage, which is out on this plan to the left. And then we have the other opening towards Newport that's on the bottom of the sheet. Two garage spaces on the ground floor and then 3 living stories above it. There's also this remote building, if you may recall, that has a garage door towards this alley that's in the back, and that's owned by Mr. Chappione. It's not part of the application, but there is a parking space available in that location. For the architecture, what I'm showing here is the elevation plans that were also submitted with the revised, or the revised version of the submission made a little over a week ago. And you'll see that the rooftop deck has been taken off, and we show the front elevation on Newport. You'll see the garage door, as I mentioned, and the peaked roof. And then on the side elevation towards Monmouth, you'll see we have added peaks over the windows, treatment around the windows, so this looks a lot like the front of a building would. In my opinion, much improved from the original submission. And again, that total height that we propose is 35 feet 5 inches. I don't know how much more information the board may need, or if Roger, you want to go through your letter, but I think that concludes the changes. Happy to answer any questions that the board may have regarding the changes before I dive into the planning testimony.
Roger McLaren sworn in.
Okay. Mr. McLaren, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do. Just some housekeeping items, Jay.
Sure.
So you're not seeking a use variance for the satellite lot? That's just out of it? You were just saying
let me put it differently. If it has to be part of the application to somehow legalize it, it's existing, we're not changing it, then if that's required, then we will request that relief.
Okay. So in my report, you eliminated the first floor deck, so that eliminates a variance. This is just, it's front yard for the building now, not the deck. So if you look at my report, 4, 6, 8, and 16 have been eliminated, but two new variances have been created. Actually, off-street parking's still a variance, I think. I don't know how those garage spaces are going to be usable. Curb cuts, and...
Distance to the intersection?
Distance to the intersection.
Yeah, so what Roger's pointing out there, the two new pieces of relief identified, the distance from the curb line of Monmouth Avenue to the garage door on our plan is slightly over 13 feet, and the standard is 25 feet in the ordinance, but we don't have the ability to do that because the lot's too small, and we can't physically make it work. And then the other one was the width of the driveway, right? The ordinance requires 18 feet.
The aggregate, right, width. You're allowed 18 feet aggregate, and it's a little more than that.
Yeah, we have total between the two. The back door, because of the double width of it, that's 20, and then the front one was 11. So we have 31 feet total of driveway on two different streets.
And you would say, I would say as an engineer, you need that additional width in order to maneuver in and out of those.
Yeah, the entire purpose of it is to make it so the vehicle can come in, not head in, but on an angle.
Well, let's stay with this for a second. Let's determine, is the garage suitable for two cars? Can two cars get in and out of that garage? And based on our requirements, not somebody's other vehicle. No, the city has certain requirements. So based on those requirements, can the garage be used for vehicles, two vehicles, based on our requirements?
I don't see how they're going to maneuver in and out of Monmouth Avenue. I just don't.
Well, the garage door on Newport allows both cars stacked in to be able to access the garage.
So I would say, as a recommendation, if you get rid of the curb cut on Monmouth, which to me, you don't want to back out onto anyway, even though you are closer to the curb line, there's really no other solution, and I agree, that you'd have two stacked spaces in that garage coming off of Newport Avenue. To me, that's the only way that you can make those garage spaces usable.
Well, what we intended, because of the separation requirement to the intersection and the how it's inadequate relative to what the ordinance requires, we wanted to have the ability to have vehicles pull in from Newport and exit onto the Monmouth side, so they would pull through the garage. Last time when we all met, there was concern about getting in on the Monmouth side, so now...
But that's unenforceable.
One-way street.
But the reality is, we don't know it's always going to happen, so depending on who gets the word. And this variance runs even after this building is done. If the ownership changes, it goes with the new owner.
Understood.
So, you know, conditions like that are almost unenforceable.
How do you mean conditions? I'm sorry.
You're saying that you're going to enter in one-way, it's a one-way garage. You're going to go one-way, and that's it. The question is how do we, as a city, how do we enforce it, if at all possible?
Oh, I don't know that we need to. The driveway, the garage can be accessed from either road. I mentioned last time we came in that the driveway opening on Monmouth, that Mr. Chapone set up cones in the same arrangement as that door opening will be, and the size of the space, he was able to pull an F-150 into it. Roger's opinion that the garage is unusable, in my opinion, it's not the case at all. We have a parking lane between the actual drive lane and our driveway, so there's 9 feet before the driveway starts to be able to turn towards it and into it. And then once you're into the space, you can maneuver across that opening and get the car positioned within the parking space. The original comment was made that if a car pulled all the way in and pulled up, that they wouldn't be able to get into the back space. The way we're arranging it now, they pull in from the Newport side, they'd be able to pull all the way up, and then to leave onto the Monmouth side, they could either back out onto Newport or drive out onto Monmouth. It's, to me, it gives us flexibility, and that's, I think, what I thought the board wanted the last time around, because the parking spaces, the access to it seemed inadequate.
It was. Now, we are talking, and I have to commend you for your trying to create flexibility. Thank you.
Sure.
and that, but still,
Thank you.
We have to question still. Our engineer is questioning it, and we have to deal with it.
Yeah, understood.
So pulling out of the garage onto Monmouth, you got to pull out, go left.
And it's one way heading
Right.
to the left, yeah.
So then you've got to maneuver back and forth a bit, and with cars parked probably on both sides of the street. I mean, it sounds awfully tricky. It's not awkward.
Yeah, I would not want to do it with the F-150 that he mentioned he'd pulled into the space earlier.
Sorry.
Oh, we don't want to do that.
Plus, you're asking for how big a curb cut for that? Because you need a bigger curb.
Well, the garage door itself is 18 feet, or 16 feet wide, John? Is that
16?
The garage door is 16 feet wide.
You need it that wide because you need the space to make the turn.
To be able to get the angle, yes.
Right, which means you're asking for a large curb cut.
Well, if we, so the typical curb cut that's permitted is 18 feet. We have a total between the two openings of, on that side, 18 feet, 20 feet, we'll call it, just to be even.
You know, two nine,
and then 18. The 11 in the front. Yeah. So what we're asking for on the Monmouth side is a typical driveway. It's not any larger than what you would see in a two-car garage opening.
On Newport. Right, but there's a second curb cut on Newport.
Yeah.
So there's 29 feet worth of curb cut.
So then you have the fire hydrant on Monmouth, because that's going to be moved. So there's a fire zone. And then you have an 18-foot curb cut, okay? So you've pretty much eliminated parking to at least, I don't know how many feet down the block. I mean,
well, the first 25,
a lot of parking there.
The first 25 feet from the intersection is no parking as it is. There's one space available between that 25-foot zone that's painted out and the alley opening that's there now. So that space would be eliminated by this driveway.
Right. Well, my concern is it's a very, very dense neighborhood. And, you know, thinking about people who live there, I can't imagine that they would be very happy with losing more parking place, another parking place, plus you're losing one on Newport Avenue. It's a narrow street and densely populated back there.
Well, there's a fire hydrant.
Not to be argumentative, the space on Newport is already painted out to be no parking because of distance to the intersection, so we wouldn't eliminate any parking there. It's not safe to park there. It would block view of it, but to drive a vehicle through it, there's cars driving on that area every day.
And just as a follow-up question, since we're talking about parking, the lot that the applicant owns, that's accessible how? Through that alley?
Yeah.
And then through someone's backyard?
No, the alley is an odd shape. It's like I won't say a tennis racket.
There's like a big space back there.
Yeah, it's just wide open.
And that's
wherever.
The only access to the lot?
Yes.
And that's nobody's property, just the city?
It's a right-of-way. Yeah, public right-of-way. It's not owned by any landowner.
I'm not talking about just the driveway. I'm talking the space.
Yeah,
all, the
all of that is open right-of-way. Yeah, it's like, I don't know how to explain. It's like a flag lot almost, the way it's shaped.
Like a what?
Flag lot. It's got the skinny driveway part that's 8 feet wide, and then it opens up, and all that's public right-of-way.
Now, there were garages back there. Is that part of what he owns?
He owns the one garage in the corner, yep.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, this arrangement that's created out here that, you know, is no doing of ours, it is what it is odd. The lots are small, they're packed in tight, and they have that weird alley in the rear, trying to make the best of what we have available.
Well, my thought is it gets a little more complicated. Because you've increased the bedroom count for the house. It was three bedrooms. You're asking for four.
Look, you know what? And if they can make it work, fine. But at least they can use it this way.
So it's a no-win-win situation. So by having the two cars there, more or less,
Yeah, but we can't count them parking in the driveway, because basically, given that was theirs, that's up to them. You're not supposed to block the driveway. I understand what you're saying. They would, but theoretically. Of course.
So you're, do you have a question about the bedroom count now, or are you just pointing it out?
Sorry?
Did you have a question about the bedroom count, or were you just pointing it out?
I'm pointing it out because the house has increased size. We're working with a postage stamp, and you're kind of building outside of larger than what was there originally, and that's a concern to me.
The footprint is not larger, or the total building space. It's reduced by 200 square feet from the original application. The bedroom count changed. Originally, it was called an office, and now it's called a bedroom. So they added a closet. And the upstairs space that originally was a sitting room all the way out towards the road has been pulled back, and the sitting room moved in, so it's overall, it is a smaller structure. But you're right that there is an additional bedroom called out. But my understanding is no limitation on that. I know it's something that changed.
No, I'm not saying there's a limitation.
Okay.
But when you're asking for so many variances, we take all that into consideration.
Okay, understood.
Please continue.
Sure.
Go ahead.
So, Roger, were there any other concerns that you wanted me to hit on before I get into the planning testimony?
No, just some thoughts on the parking arrangement. I think eliminating the off-street parking variance by allowing the two garage doors is a good trade-off. Like, you're not losing any spaces on Newport Avenue. I doubt the garage opening on Monmouth is really going to work out, but to have that garage door there available to, if you're in that back parking space, to get in and out of the building may not be such a bad idea. And that way we can also keep the satellite lot out of this application. That's my recommendation. I mean, I don't like it, the driveway being that close to the intersection, but the intersection where it's coming out, it's better than it's coming out on Newport Avenue than Monmouth Avenue in that regard. And you do need two spaces, not three. It's, you round down as per the ordinance. So if we're okay with the variance from the setback to the curb, they are showing two legal spaces in underneath. Again, it's going to be tight, but they are legal spaces. And I'm not sold on the opening on Monmouth Avenue, but to leave it on the plan to allow it, I think is not a bad idea.
Thank you.
Could you repeat that, Roger? I'm not sure what you said about Monmouth Avenue.
To me, the only access to use the garage is for the park vehicles in and out. The maneuver to vehicles in and out is going to be off of Newport Avenue.
Right.
That requires a variance because it's too close to the corner.
Right.
So, based on that, you could say, well, you can eliminate the other curb cut on Monmouth Avenue. But what I'm saying is, it's so tight inside that if you're in that back parking space, leaving that garage door there, maybe that apron in case they could use it, it's not a bad, I don't think we're really losing much at all by allowing that. It's not the perfect arrangement, but the lot's 15 feet wide.
It's one way coming towards Newport?
Monmouth Avenue is one way down beach, and Newport's one way towards the bay.
You could kind of pull in that way.
So the interesting part, the concern that was raised about the maneuvering out of the garage, so a typical parking lot would have your parking space, then a 24-foot wide drive aisle to pull out of the space and make your maneuver. What we have in this location, which I'll show back on this plan, when you leave the garage space, you have the sidewalk area that's 13 feet wide, you have a 7-foot wide parking lane that's not going to have a vehicle in the way of it, so that 9 feet is available, so that's 22 feet total, plus the drive lane to make the turn. So it's bigger than a lot of parking lots would have. It feels like when you leave the parking, you're going to pull straight out into the street, but you're not. You have space to be able to make the turn. And being that you're only having to look one direction, assuming everybody's following the law, you're only looking to your right to be able to make that left. It's an easier maneuver than probably most parking lots.
But you're going to have to back out of that space.
No.
Going south on Monmouth.
Yeah, we would make, out of the garage, we would make the left.
You're going to pull in and you're going to have to back out.
No.
No, you would exit from Newport.
Oh.
And then make the cycle around, so that's...
But you're still suggesting that this Monmouth Avenue side is accessible and...
As an entryway.
It is, yeah. From, you're saying from Newport to pull in?
Okay, so
from Monmouth to pull in?
We would
loop from, or turn in from Newport, so you're not backing out into Newport where it's tight. We would pull through Monmouth. And if he has small vehicles, as you know, Mr. Chapone has said, then that could back out back onto Newport without an issue, like the smaller, whatever. But for future, anybody else that buys it, that would be their maneuver.
You're right, it is 16 feet, 17 feet from the face.
Yeah, and the depth of the garage, too, keep in mind, that a typical garage only has to really be the depth of two parking spaces. This is 50 feet end-to-end, so there's a lot of space between the cars or in front of the cars to be able to move around, too. It's 50 feet deep.
Roman, you want to talk?
I just wanted to assure the board that the closeness of the driveway to Monmouth on Newport seems severe. They built a road next to my house where I live in Morris Plains, same distance. I lived there for 32 years on a busier road, and I had to back out. Never had an accident. No one ever had a problem turning in and coming out of the side street that was created. So it's, I understand, I wish I didn't have that driveway so close, but they built the road there. But it's safe. If you're careful of what you do, it really is not a problem.
And also, you can look at the ordinance as being, they would require that distance if that space was a parking space in the driveway.
Right.
But it's going to be in the house.
Yep.
Any more questions on the parking in the garage? I want to move on.
Has anybody mentioned about making a left into the driveway from Monmouth and then exiting Newport? Make a left in, you're going to go through.
Point out.
And at Newport, you only make a right there into down Monmouth. Instead of that.
Facing out. Well, the exit is supposed to be on Newport. According to the testimony, the exit is supposed to be on Newport.
I think what Greer's saying is the car will be facing out.
Yeah, the car will be facing. You would make a left into the driveway from Monmouth Avenue and then drive through and come out instead of backing out. Because if you come out the driveway on Monmouth, going north and then trying to go south, you got all those cars that are always parked on the opposite side of the street, and it looks like they only have one spot, and that's going to be tight.
Well, that was what I just mentioned, how from the distance from the garage door to the curb is 13 feet, and then there's a 7-foot wide parking aisle or parking lane that's there, that those there would be no spaces when you come out of the garage on the left side, because there's the driveway opening and then the 25-foot area that's painted off at the intersection where you can't park. So it would be completely clear on the left side when you go to pull out, and then you have the drive lane between them, so you have the 20 feet or more than 20 feet plus the drive lane, which is another 10 or 11. So from the face of the garage to the cars on the opposite side is 31 feet. It's wider than you have in a typical parking lot. Yeah, it's tight. I mean, and the one way rotation or arrangement of the roads makes it so that no matter which way you go, if you could pull out on Newport, like you mentioned, you have to make a right. If you pull out on Monmouth, you got to make a left. There's no choice. That's the direction you're going to have to go. To me, I think it can go either direction. You can park either direction and it works. It's safe and it's adequate for at least two vehicles. And the garage is almost deep enough to fit three spaces. It's only 4 feet short of three spaces, and we're only showing two.
Can I make a suggestion that the ground floor stairwell entrance open towards Newport,
so as to not impede parking alongside that stairwell?
Are you saying that this bottom...
Well, because if there are cars there, you don't open that door.
I see what you're saying, yeah, they drive it into it.
Towards...
On the front wall.
Right. It would allow better flow through that garage space. Right here.
Very, very good call, Mr. Taco, thank you.
Peter, I think it...
Have you built a house or two over the years, maybe? You built a house or two, you know? Yeah, it's a good call, we'll do that.
Just take this door.
What do you think?
Move the door from here, this, to here.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that way...
It makes sense.
If this car could be all the way down here.
Right, that doesn't...
And not impede the...
So you just turn...
And we'll absolutely agree to make that change.
All right, good pickup, Peter. Thank you. Jake, could please continue?
Sure, thank you. So I ran through this testimony at the last hearing. I'll try to make it brief to revisit some of it related to the relief requested and the variance proofs. So I mentioned that the site is substantially undersized. Existing condition is 750 square feet, where the ordinance requires 2,000 square feet. So all the relief that's requested, other than the building height, is related to the undersized nature of the lot. And in my opinion, that would fall under a C1 hardship variance. No specific pieces of relief are related to maximum building coverage at 10262D1, where it's permitted to be 55%. 91% previously existed and 100% is proposed. It's completely to do with the undersized lot. From 10262D2, where the maximum lot coverage permitted is 75%, it was 91% existing, 100% is proposed. And to be clear, that's an increase of 50 square feet, 50 square feet. From 10262E, where both front yards are required to be 12 feet, 0 feet is proposed on both frontages. As I mentioned, or I showed on the plan, had shown on the plan, if we extend those 12-foot setbacks, it eats the entire lot because it's only 15 feet wide. From 10262F, where the side yards are required to be 4 feet, 0 feet exists, 0 feet is proposed. 10262G requires a rear yard of 12 feet, where 0 feet existed and 0 feet is proposed. And from two variances related to landscaping, 10218-4M2, where 25% of the lot is required to be landscaped, and 5% of the lot area is provided, of that must be provided in the front yard. 0% is proposed since it has been historically paved. We proposed no change to the landscaping. The other relief requested, and Roger, I need your help making sure I get all of them here. Mentioning the building height, 10218A, the building height is permitted to be 31 feet for either a flat or sloped roof on a lot with less than 40 feet. We propose 35.42 feet for that building height. And as I mentioned previously, if we did a flat roof, it could be compliant, but we feel that the pitched roof shown is a better planning alternative and more architecturally appealing. It's a much better looking building, in my opinion. From 10218C, where a third habitable floor, that was for the 5 feet setback from the floor below. We have that now, so that no longer is needed. I apologize.
Right.
And Roger, I don't know if we still need this relief from 10218.3B, where decks and porches are permitted to encroach into front yards by 5 feet, but since we propose zero setback, the decks are also at zero, so they don't technically encroach into a proposed front yard, but they are within the required yard.
Right, but the ordinance says they're allowed that encroachment if the front yard setback is being met.
Okay, I got you. So then that wouldn't be needed.
A little wordplay. But the third floor deck variance goes away because it's still within the building envelope?
It is.
and there's no setback requirement, so that's eliminated.
Okay, good. And then those two additional pieces of relief that Roger identified in his letter, that's the old letter, let me get the new one, excuse me.
Curb
related
cut
to the curb cut opening size, where 18 feet is permitted, we propose one at 11 and another one at 18. And then the location of the curb cut being 13 feet from Monmouth rather than 25 is required by ordinance. And the last one, I think, is related to the number of stories. So as mentioned previously, 2.5 stories is permitted. What we propose is technically 2.8 stories. The requirement to qualify as a half story is that the third floor, in this case, be 75% of the floor below it, or is it 75% of the building footprint?
It's floor below, but I used a building envelope because
yeah. The
whole building is still occupying.
We are 80% instead of 75% of the building footprint. So we're requesting that relief. And that's less than 40 square feet of additional building space. I believe that's all the relief. Okay. Back to the proofs. So I mentioned a lot of these were C1 variances related to the building, the existing lot size, but those that are created by this application that I feel the benefits will potentially outweigh any detriment are related to, as I mentioned, the building height, where if we were to be compliant with a flat roof, it wouldn't look as good. So we propose 35.42 feet to allow the peaked roof to be provided for aesthetic purposes, and also to have the frontage on Monmouth to also be similarly appealing. If we were to take, as I mentioned, and just flatten this roof out, we would be compliant, but we'd lose all this architectural treatment that would make the building look a lot, I think, less appealing, in my opinion. And that, I think, advances purpose of zoning, which is back to this. All right, so purpose I, to promote desirable visual environment through creative development techniques and good civic design arrangement. The visual impacts and the aesthetic benefit from providing the slope roof, I think, meets this purpose. And in addition, the building height that's requested is only a few inches, 5 inches above what would be seen for a larger lot in this zone, like the ones down the street, a couple lots down, where because of their lot width being 40 feet or greater, they're allowed to be 35 feet in height. So what we are requesting is in line with what's seen in the neighborhood. It's not excessive. In the last application, we were asking for 38 feet, or the last version of it, and we've reduced it from that to be more compliant and eliminate, as I mentioned, that roof deck. I also think that purpose A is advanced, which is to promote the general welfare. The applicant is proposing an upgraded single-family home with additional parking. And providing the driveways to allow not only additional parking, but additional maneuvering that's safer for the purpose of not only the owner, but also the surrounding area. My understanding from hearing from residents that the intersection, when cars are parked close to it, visibility down the street is blocked. By putting in this driveway and eliminating that space, so you have the 25 feet that's not allowed to be parked, plus this space provides a lot more clear sight area at the intersection than existing conditions. So field advances that purpose. Purpose B, to secure from flood, because this building has to be compliant with the flood hazard rules, it's going to be elevated above the garage spaces, as you saw in the plans. Purpose H, to promote the free flow of traffic. I mentioned that clear sight area being improved, and off-street parking where none existed previously. And then purpose M, to encourage the efficient use of land. Based on everything I've mentioned previously with the undersized lot, we feel this is clearly an efficient use of the land. And then the proposed improvements are viewed on the whole. They also contribute to the preservation of the neighborhood character and aesthetics, and these are two additional purposes of zoning the courts have held to be appropriate in consideration of variance relief. For the negative criteria, There are two prongs. The first is to demonstrate that there's not a negative or no substantial impact to the general welfare and the surrounding area, which is, the courts have held, is the immediately surrounding area. As mentioned previously, the building height is the same as that seen in other homes around the area. The overall impact of having this newer home on the corner in this version that we show now with the aesthetic improvements, I think, will not have a negative impact to the surrounding area. And the second prong is to demonstrate that there's no substantial impairment to the purpose or intent of the zone plan. There was a statement made during the last hearing that what we asked for originally would set back your master plan and zoning improvements, you know, a number of years. I think that the changes that we've made, especially in the context of this smaller lot, definitely show that we are very, very close to complying with the ordinance, meaning spirit, purpose, and intent, by having the third floor pulled back, no longer a rooftop deck, and the building height very similar to what's anticipated in other lots that are larger. And given that, we could be complying with the exact same building volume and living space, just with the roof being flat and not look as good, I think is, you know, the purpose of zoning is to make things look better, along with quiet enjoyment for the neighbors. So I feel that we also meet that that requirement or that proof. And for those reasons, I feel that the board has jurisdiction to grant relief, and that the application provides sufficient information and on balance, that the improvements made with this new or amended approach certainly warrants variance relief in the context of this undersized lot. I appreciate your time again tonight.
We have a couple questions I think that have to come up yet. I didn't hear testimony on either a waiver of landscaping or governor strips.
I have a question in regard to that right now.
Yeah.
Sure.
What's the distance between the edge of the building and the curb line?
On Monmouth?
On Monmouth.
It's 13 feet.
13 feet. So it looks like the houses that are north of this have, it's the same property line, but it seems like they have planning.
Two things. They have planning in front of their lot, in front of their porches, and they have roof overhangs into the right of way.
Right. Okay. So my suggestion would be to follow the natural sidewalk line and then create a planning area, although off of...
We would like to do that if that's permitted. It's in the right of way, but we'll gladly do it.
But the sidewalk line should be continuous all the way down the street, so if we could gain a 2-foot, maybe 30-inch planning strip there,
right,
as even opposed to a governor strip, because the governor strip may be cumbersome there.
Right.
You know.
No, we would prefer having it against the building.
From the garage opening forward.
Yeah, you
create
this section here. Yep.
That elevation.
No, we would gladly do that. Thank you.
And the other item you mentioned before, I think we were on the record, you were talking about the water, the hydrant.
Fire hydrant.
The hydrant. Could you vote that and put it on the record, please? What's your the agreement was worked out with the city?
Yes, so the existing hydrant is on the Newport Avenue side, and it's generally directly in front of the garage door we propose. Mr. Chapone spoke with the water department, and they said that the fire hydrant needs to be replaced. They will provide the hydrant, the new hydrant, and he would pay for relocation of the hydrant onto the Monmouth Avenue frontage, where we have open sidewalk and no parking at that corner where it can fit. So generally, it'll be right on the other side of the radius on Monmouth. So where the accessible ramp is on the corner, it would just pretty much switch from one end of it to the other.
This would be a condition of approval.
Absolutely. Okay. We're fine with that.
Yes. And are you, you've read Roger's review of this existing plan? You're okay and you're congruent with it?
Yeah, we can address his comments.
Are you complete at this time?
I couldn't hear you, I'm sorry.
Are you complete at this time?
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Board members, do you have any other further questions of the applicant? At this time, I'd like to open up to the public. Is there anyone in the public that wishes to make comment on this application? Please come forward and be sworn if you do.
May I make a comment or ask questions about another issue afterwards, after you're done?
Yes, this is, yeah, this is not, yeah, we're
yeah, just on.
It's about parking on Monmouth.
All right.
Sure.
Hi, my name is Rose Kazu. I live at 137 North Maple. I'm attached to his proposed building, and this is my son-in-law, Daniel Smith.
Hello.
Dan, are you going to speak too?
I'm sorry?
Are you going to speak also?
Yes.
Yeah, so just state your name and address.
Daniel Smith. I live at 505 Somerset in the Heights.
Okay. Can each raise your right hand? Each swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, great.
Okay. I just have a concern about the height of this building attached to mine. Like, I have a flat roof, and I'm right attached to his, and plus, like, his garage is going to be right next to my door now, and I just don't see how the aesthetics are going to be that great when I'm flat roof and I'm right attached to his house. He's going to be, like, towering over my house. I just don't.
It just feels like with all of the proposals, everyone's talking, nobody's bringing up that it's, like, actually an attached house. Like, everything is kind of moving forward like it's a freestanding on its own lot when she needs to be taken into account for. And she had some problems with the parking issues, but it actually seems like, I mean, as weird as it might be that they've done a good job, and on Newport, with that already being a blocked out spot, it's not really going to impede on any of her parking, especially during the summer. It's a nightmare back there. You lose one on Monmouth, but I guess that's what you need to do in order to get access. There is a house right across the street that is, like, similar to this. And it kind of looks awkward, but it is on a, you know, it's not, there's no party wall, it's not attached, it's freestanding.
Can I see what the flat's going to look like for the time of the garage?
Sorry, buddy.
No, I'm good. Is that the one you want?
So this is Newport. So essentially, your house is going to be about this tall with a party wall.
It's a little taller.
Maybe midway?
It's a little taller. You got to think of the second floor.
From the sidewalk, is this about 45 feet tall from the sidewalk? This is 49, 45. So it's 45 feet tall. Do you know how tall the house was that was here? That's now gone? But I just don't know what that is.
Two stories, not far off the ground, so it's much lower.
So 20 feet?
Taller, 25.
So this house is going to be 20 feet taller than the former twin?
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's a number.
I guess it is a valid concern as to how you're going to deal with runoff on that.
Well, I thought about the roofing with the A roof.
The flat roof, it could all go to Mount
so,
but as an A roof, it's got to go towards our property.
Is it possible that the gutters, is the gutter even a possibility? Because, I mean, it would just be cascading onto her flat roof,
right.
Probably increasing the volume, like.
Well, I mean, even as it's shown, it's the overhang of this roof encroaches in there her airspace.
That can't happen. That's something that the architectural plan.
So we're going to have to fix that.
Yes, that has to be fixed.
And then capture that water and bring it to Mama.
Or go back to the alley.
Pardon?
We can run it back towards the alley.
We have to gutter back to the alley. We have to shorten that edge of the roof a little bit. The gutter.
On the ocean side of the house.
So her house is
she raises a good point, but I didn't realize the house is like that.
Where did
they go? They have
So there's like a small alley in between. Yes, towards the beach. And she has a flat roof with just like a drain system. I'm not even sure where it exits. I honestly wasn't even thinking about the runoff until you were discussing the roof. I mean, I'd like to say that she wants to get this done in some capacity. It's been an empty lot for 2 years. She's had roof issues and leaking issues because it was a party wall that's now exposed. So she wants to get this done. And I mean, honestly, like, the parking seemed like the issue. It doesn't, like I said, it's awkward. But this just seemed gargantuan. I mean, even if they did a flat roof and they can make it more aesthetically pleasing and it would drain in the manner that it was intended when they were all built, and then it would cut down on the height.
Yeah.
Very tall and narrow.
Too high.
I mean, she's going to be in a shadow half of the day.
They need to get back to the drawing.
Are you complete?
Yeah. They need to build what was over there.
They can do this. Yes, there's a solution to the whole problem.
There.
They can do a shed roof on this property.
Shed roof.
Just do a shed roof. And Roger came up, and of all things, Roger came up with it. And you do a shed roof to slope towards Monmouth Avenue. And not a flat roof. It's a slope roof, drains, it's not a problem.
But the height is still there, right?
The height is lower.
You can make it lower, they would
it's
use...
lower.
Well, how much taller
instead
is it?
Instead of, well, right now, the roof is actually over a flat roof. It's about 3.5 feet higher than a flat roof. That's all it is.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we've determined that this structure, as we're looking at it, is considerably higher than her house.
Yeah.
And that's what she's concerned about. So by changing, let me finish.
All right.
By changing the roof, whatever kind of roof you put on it, that's not going to bring it down to anywhere near what her house.
We're addressing the drainage only at that point. That was
well, she's concerned about the aesthetics.
I understand that. I understand that. But I was addressing drainage.
Okay.
A shed roof on that house would be really helpful.
Funny?
A shed roof would be really helpful. I would propose something like a parapet and some kind of a gusset system up on top to control the water and bring it towards.
I think it's better. I think you're right.
I mean, because there's a couple houses that I've seen party wall like that where they have done a shed roof, and it looks awkward.
Okay.
Yeah.
You heard feet front to back.
I was talking to John while you guys were doing your in the middle of the conversation, so I missed talking about the shed roof. So not sure where you'll land generally, but we were talking about how shed roof would look awkward. I was thinking talking to John.
I'm sorry. Could you just move closer to the microphone? Thank you.
I was thinking when talking to John about the idea of the shed roof, when being at the building height. Kind of is going to be above what their building is no matter what we do because it's permitted to be. Right now with the peak the way it is, the concern is obviously the half of the house that would go towards hers, which we think we can put in gutter systems to drain it to the front and the rear and not impact her property. But if it's still a concern, thinking outside the box, if we do like a shed roof like you mentioned, so that the peak of this roof would be on the lot line and everything drained towards Monmouth, in the future if someone else were to come in and redevelop her lot, whether it's her or somebody else, and they do the same thing but opposite, it would have two peaks that kind of coincide on the lot line, and it would look relatively normal at that point. So for the short term, it might look a little odd with a shed roof, but...
Well, so it would satisfy the ordinance that the symmetry of the building as a twin.
I think it's interesting. It's because we keep the same look on Monmouth, and we just maybe flatten out that peak a little bit. We just have to work on how the front and rear with that, the way we have that gable end, how that would look.
I mean, you could do the same elevation if it were a shed roof.
Yeah.
I mean, with those peaks, which I feel add to the appeal of that facade.
So what you're saying is keep that gable.
Well, not so much that one, but
something like
the ones on Monmouth Avenue.
Well, if we did, Yeah, these ones for sure. These would stay, because it would look exactly the same generally, just instead of having the peak in the middle, it would be on the far end. But on this one, if we were to take that same angle, not at steep, but bring it up, and then still do this gable, but this end would keep going up, so that we'd be able to get that slope out, it could work.
You're stating a 512 pitch over here, it looks like it's way over.
It looks steeper to me, that's what the architect said.
It's still a 10, so.
He doesn't, on the plan, he doesn't have a, he doesn't call out the pitch on the plan.
Yeah.
I mean, I think.
The intention is to do 512.
So for the record, it's 512.
So on the ocean side.
Pardon me one second.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Dan, we do have, I'm going to turn this over to Leo for a second here, because we have a little bit of a conflict to go over.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I just don't have a problem.
About the.
Some things come up during the course of the hearing that not necessarily anticipated. I think probably best, Dan, to not vote in light of some of the testimonies.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
And that would involve questioning also, Dan.
You okay with that? You understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are we postponing this? Is that what you said?
No.
We didn't understand what you said about not voting.
Dan's not going to participate any further.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not going to vote.
Okay.
Got it. So having three floors is allowed on the site.
That's correct.
Aesthetically, I would like to see those two floors.
Well,
it feels like
the other problem is that was built 50 years ago,
yeah.
And today's today. So we can go backwards or we go forwards.
If you look right down the street, there's very much
room out. So we go forward.
That's folks in three stories.
Fitting the house.
They can jump in.
I think
they can jump in.
This is a slant.
This is a reduced road, just a 5 minute and a shed.
This is a place to operate.
I mean, he's talking to the applicants, but it's just, these people should drink it or something. Dan.
75 inches.
Dan.
Keep this moving.
Oh, you got to keep this moving. You're a board member. It gets to be a question.
I'm not going to vote. Do you want me to sit up there?
No, it's just a question of participating with the applicant and the public at the same time with that. It puts the board in a little bit of a situation here.
I think my mom would just love to get this done and protect her property and, you know, make it as aesthetically pleasing as possible. We realize this is the way it's going, and probably whoever purchases her property will end up matching whatever this is. I mean, that's the reality of it. She wants to get it built, and she wants to make sure that her property is safe. That's pretty much the only reason we're here.
Well, thank you very much for your time here. Thank you. Mr. Shillo, do you have any comment on this issue?
Well, last time you told me not to poll the board about...
I'm asking for a comment. I'm not asking for a poll.
No, I know. I want to just make a statement that, and I told Danny too, that no matter where we end up, we obviously can't drain onto the neighboring property, and we will not. It'll either be gutters or we can rework the roof, but generally I think we're going to end up with a gutter system that will send it front to back to keep it off of their property.
Well, you're saying it'll slant towards Monmouth.
If you guys were, I think that's an interesting idea. I would like to go through that. In any case, the height requested here will not be altered. We won't go any higher. If it ends up being a peak like this or a shed roof, the height is the height. So I think the shed roof, if...
It appears
the height variance can't exceed it.
Maintain a 512 pitch will probably be...
It could go up.
Much lower than what you're showing.
So at 15 feet wide...
Pitch 75 inches in 15 feet. I mean, you're well over 8 feet from top plate to ridge line.
Well, the roof can't be that high. They already stipulated.
That's what I mean. I think if you did a shed roof and maintain a 512 pitch, you would be well under what he's shown here.
Yeah.
I mean, you probably lose 3 feet of height.
I'm going to do the math.
Well, 512, half of 512 is 2.5 feet.
Not half.
Well, I mean, 512.
It's going to be full. It's going to be.
512.
Well, it's 5 inches per foot. It's 5 inches per foot, so 7.5 feet. Building's 15 feet wide.
No, but it's 15 feet.
Pardon?
If you do a shed, it's 50. Do a shed with a 512, it's 15 feet of rise.
So it's 6 1/4.
75 inches of rise.
Yeah, it's 6 1/4.
At feet. Five?
At five. If it's 15 feet.
Right.
It's only half the roof. It's a shed.
Yeah.
We seem to be really redesigning here. I mean, it's one thing to move a door.
Suggestion. I mean,
we've got
an issue where the drainage goes and...
No, I agree. But this level of revision is very disconcerting if you're about to ask for a vote.
I agree.
Yeah, but I think they need to come back to us with a plan.
Well, Roger, I think, has a solution for this whole thing. Roger, would you state it to me? Right.
What, with the shed roof?
The description.
Well, the height variance, they're seeking a height variance and can't exceed that. If they redesign the roof to make sure that there's no encroachment on the neighbor's property and a runoff on the neighbor's property, the height variance will still carry, but the height will be actually substantially less. I don't see that as a major...
In other words...
redesign. I see that as complying to the condition imposed by the board.
Right. The board's imposing a condition that the height is a maximum height and that the water must not go on the other property and must be, the full drainage must occur and no water goes on the adjoining property. That is the conditions of that we go here. We don't have to do a redesign in this, but that is what they're testifying to. That's what they said they're going to do, and that would be a condition of approval. And they don't have to come in and change everything for that. And then the only thing they have to do is then submit a plan to Roger, as we do oftentimes, that shows that it in fact was done. And that's all. That's how we've handled it in the past. So. Now, is there any other questions or any other discussion? Otherwise, if you're complete, Mr. Shulo, then we'll bring this to a vote.
Can I ask a question?
Please.
This lady, your neighbor, has come here twice. She looked very stressed sitting out there, even though she's in favor of the project. Is there any way you can just address her eye to eye and explain to her she's going to be all right?
Well, this is interesting. I didn't know this when she came in the first time, but her son-in-law is a friend of mine. His wife is one of my wife's really good friends. So when I stand here and say that we'll make sure that you aren't negatively impacted, that's family talking. So that's, yeah, I don't think it can get any better than that.
I do see a little smile.
We love smiles.
Yeah, I didn't realize. I had no idea. I also didn't realize that Danny was there too.
And Mike, thank you for that.
Thank you.
I feel good about
that. Okay.
One other thing. How many variances? Because I need to call Brian Callahan.
Is enough a number? Again, 90% of them are due to the smallest on a lot.
Okay. At this time, let's, Leo, it's time for you to frame a motion.
Okay, and I'm going to go through Roger's report, and if I miss something, we'll get it corrected. But in this zone, you're allowed the attached single-family development along a common party line, or if you meet certain conditions, which are essentially all the bulk requirements. If you don't meet those one or more of those conditions, it's what's called a D3 conditional use variance. It does require 5 out of 7 votes. It's a lesser standard than a typical use variance. It's basically, the use is allowed, it's just, does the development still work despite the fact that they don't meet every single condition, which again are basically the bulk requirements, most of which they can't do too much about. So it's a